But right now, we are going to the phones where we are joined by Kim Weir. She's the author of the book, The Art of Friendship, Creating and Keeping Relationships That Matter. Kim, welcome to the Wake Up Call Morning Show.
Good morning. Glad to be with you guys.
Well, Kim, a timely book because, you know, we all have like 8 million friends on Facebook, but to have any real friendships that matter and that are actual, not just some, you know, digital thing that is online, but a real true friendship. And you book that people, despite, you know, 8 million likes and friends on Facebook, we're lonelier than we've ever been.
Yeah, I hope we all have some good relationships, but we have less relationships than we used to. And that is this whole connective disconnection that we go through. And research is showing that while we may not be telling each other that we're lonely, we are lonely. And it's really not very healthy for us.
And you say in your book that, and I thought that was a significant point, that it's not that we need more relationships, we need deeper relationships.
Yeah, I think that is one of the misconceptions, especially in the era that we live in, where you're trying to get more likes, more shares, more followers, and more seems to be the quintessential aim. But it really is about deeper relationships. So back to research, one of the things that research shows is that people who have more intricate, deeper connections of friends, not necessarily a vast number, but significantly deeper, they actually live longer. That being lonely is more detrimental to your health than smoking 15 cigarettes a day, is more detrimental to your health than obesity, that being lonely actually kills more people than those factors. I think we know that inside. Maybe we don't know the statistics, but we feel it when we feel lonely. We feel like our life is shrunken a little bit, and it turns out our years are shrunken too.
Do some lonely people feel maybe rejected because they don't seem to have very many friendships, and maybe even just unkind word or no one reacts to their Facebook post might make people feel like unworthy?
You know, I think all of us have that voice in our head. I love the comedian Jim Gaffigan. I don't know if you guys follow him, but he's hilarious. He does this, you know, stand-up shtick where he tells a joke, but then we get the inside voice in his head that's always mocking him. Then it's always a female voice. I'm not sure I like that. But anyway, it's a voice in his head that's just critical, critical, critical. We all have that voice in our head, you know, that says, nobody really wants to hang out with you. You don't measure up. Just go home. They all have friends. And it could be, you know, our own self-criticism. It could be the voice from our mother. It could be some relationship in the past. But that track just plays in our head and plays in our head, and it undermines us. And until we stop listening to that voice, it can be very difficult to have the kind of confidence and courage that it takes to start building friendships. It's certainly not the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's certainly not God's voice. Because his voice will say things like, you're beloved. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're my gift to other people. You're a pearl of great price. So we have to stop listening to one side, and we have to start listening to what's true. And when we do, we realize, wait a minute, I do have a lot to offer, and I should have the confidence to go out and start building relationships.
Now, not only quantity does matter when it comes to friendships, it's also the quality, though, that matters. Do you talk anything about toxic relationships or how to evaluate your relationships?
So there are so many different kinds of relationships in our lives that would qualify for quote-unquote friendship. I think we often just think of like a BFF, right? You know, everybody wants somebody that is the one person that is going to, you know, hear their stuff and be there for them and cheer them on and be in their corner. But having one BFF, they're going to move eventually, or they might get sick, or, you know, you might have a falling out. And so having a wide network of people, but think about who also is included in that. If you're married, you really want to have a friendship with your spouse. If, you know, you're an adult, you probably want to start having a friendship with your parents and not just that child relationship. There is this element of friendship you have in your work environment. There's a place where you want to develop friendships even with your kids as they get older. My kids are all in their 20s, and I don't want to just be their mom anymore. I want to be their friend. And so the first thing to recognize is that all of those things have this element of friendship that needs to be cultivated. But within that, each one of those could have opportunities where you need to set boundaries, or you need to pull back, or you need to push forward. All of that has to be evaluated relationship by relationship. And I got to tell you guys, that can be hard because I don't know that I really have the people skills that I need for all of that. But here's what God does. He gives us this fabulous guide to how to build friendships in his word that is just super compact and super simple. A lot of us know it as the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. You hear it read at weddings all the time.
Right.
Well, the truth is, it's not talking about romantic love. It's talking about agape love. And agape love is the exact kind of love that God says he has for us as our friend. Jesus said he kind of unpacked his role in our lives as our friend. And he says, look, I agape you. I love you as a friend. And you're my friend because you do what I say, but you're also my friend because I tell you all these things that I know that my Father's told me. There's this transparency between us. And then after calling us his friend, he says, now go and love and be a friend to other people. And so if you go to 1 Corinthians 13, it says, here's what that looks like. Agape friend love is patient, kind. It's not jealous. It doesn't boast. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs. It perseveres. It rejoices in truth. All these great things, so that if you want to evaluate whether a relationship is healthy or not healthy, or you're being a healthy friend, that's the place to go.
Are there any examples in the Bible of a friendship, a good friendship, a model friendship?
There's so many, and I think we overlook them. Relationships of both men friendships and women friendships. Ruth and Naomi is one of my favorites. Moses and God is a great relationship that has friendship. Job and his friends. But I think one of my favorites is Jonathan and David, because you get this beautiful picture of what's called a covenant friendship, where they literally make a covenant. They agree that they will be friends through thick and thin, all the way to the end. And they do it in such a way that they're willing to sacrifice for each other. I mean, here's Jonathan. He's the son of a king. He's the heir to the throne. And he meets this shepherd boy who's done this brave thing by fighting for God's honor. And he finds him so admirable that they instantly strike up this friendship. So much so that they make promises to each other of commitment that they're going to stand by each other. And then when push comes to shove and Saul freaks out and loses his mind and tries to kill David, Jonathan stands by David rather than his father, even knowing that he's going to lose the throne, because his father tells him, hey, you know what, Jonathan, if David lives, you're never going to be king. And Jonathan decides it's better to be David's friend than it is to be king. There are all these great pictures of friendship in the Bible. I mean, even if you think about it, guys, Jesus and Judas is a relationship of friendship. Mm. Not a very good one on Judas's side, but there's a lot to learn about friendship on Jesus's side, who continues to persevere, who continues to offer him opportunities. When he washes everybody's feet, he includes him into this intimate circle. He includes Judas, even knowing that Judas is this fair-weather friend that's going to betray him. So when you look at God's examples in the Bible, there are so many to learn from, and all of them demonstrate for us small patches of little bits of what it's like for God to be a friend to us. Just like marriage is an example of our relationship to God, Jesus says, look, it's like an example of the way Christ is with the church. That's what marriage is. Well, friendship is one of those kinds of relationships where we enter into it not just to meet our needs. It's literally a reflection to the rest of the world about the kind of friendship that God has us, or it should be. It's our calling. It's kind of like a spiritual discipline.
We're talking with Kim Weir. The book is The Art of Friendship, Creating and Keeping Relationships That Matter. And Kim, if folks are interested in the book or interested in finding out more about it, how could they do so?
Well, you can check out my website, which is kimweir.com, and it's I before E, except after C, so it's kimweir.com. You can also just check it on Amazon or wherever. I will tell you that the resource walks you through step by step, not only helping you understand the depth and breadth of what friendship is and your friendship with God, and helping you deal with the voices in your head, but it also just walks you through, okay, how do I begin to reach out to me? It gives you a little assignments and helps you cultivate those friendships. So I do hope you'll check it out. And you can also go to hopeondemand.com. It's a great new website. I've got a 365-day Bible devotional that you can follow along with. So check that out as well.
And what would you say, before you go, one thing, what would you say to that person listening right now that is lonely, doesn't have any or many friends? What would be that first step to encourage them?
So thankful that you asked that question, because I think that describes a vast number of people. It certainly described me at one time. So here's my advice. Go first. Go first. Stop waiting for somebody to reach out to you, because the model of Christ's friendship that we're supposed to follow is a go first model, that we look and reach out. Somebody out there is as lonely as you are. Somebody out there needs you to be accessible, needs you to be an investor in their lives. And that's the beautiful thing about biblical friendship. It focuses on the other people. It invests in other people. And then God does this really cool thing, guys. He boomerangs it back around And you wind up getting what you need as well out of intimate friendships. So my advice is, think for somebody to knock on your door or pick up the phone or invite you to go someplace or message you on Instagram. Go first. Reach out to somebody. Invite them for coffee. Invite them for dinner. Do something today that initiates. I promise you, it'll change your life.
That's great advice. Kim Weir joining us. Once again, the book is The Art of Friendship, Creating and Keeping Relationships That Matter. And Kim, thank you so much for getting up early with us this morning.
Yeah, thank you.
Really appreciate talking with you.
Take
care,
guys.
Kim.
Thanks.